All right, so thanks to everyone for stopping by. Hopefully, most people have joined again. We had 100 people join just like that, and then the sound wasn't working. So rather than troubleshoot it live, I thought I'd just start fresh and hope for the best. So here we go. Gas and Bullets asked me before, am I going to buy that Hagstrom? I'm not, but I liked it. I got to say, it was one of the best 335 style guitars I've played in a while. The good thing about it was the neck pickup was really chirpy. I've played a few 335 guitars before by other brands and by Hagstrom as well, where the neck pickup's really muddy. That one was actually really great. I really liked the bass breaker head too. I think that surprised me actually how great that 7-watt amp was for just dirty tones only. It was really quite cool. Alright guys, so sorry about that. Let me know where you're from as well. That would be cool. And yeah, got the Grumpy Cat t-shirt, absolutely. It's my I Hate Mondays one. I've had this for years, you know. I should really buy some new t-shirts at some point, but... Alright, so I'm using a different setup. Usually I'd be using my video camera and all that kind of stuff, but I'm using a webcam and a USB microphone today. We're going to try that. It's a good webcam, so hopefully it's alright. Steven says he can hear me all the way in the US. That's good. That's good to know. That's cool. What do I think of the PV Bandit 75? I don't know if I've actually tried one of those or not. There's a couple of weird PV Bandits and weird PV like solo amps I've never tried. I've seen them on listings. I haven't tried them. But that said, I've tried most of the Bandits, which is cool. What are my thoughts on the newer Vox AC-10 amplifiers? I think they're good. I think the AC-10's a really great sounding amp. No doubt about it. I think I did a shootout with one in a video against other Vox amplifiers. That said though, I really dug the way it felt to play as well. I think it's a really great amp. Tone-wise, it's good. I used to be a huge fan of the AC-15s, but I'm not as big a fan of them anymore. I find like I've worked out my sound and what I love, but those 10s are really great. We've got Montego from Greece. How are you, man? Kenny B. Buzz Wilson. Howdy, y'all from the heart of Texas. Mississippi. South Ontario, New Zealand. Cool, cool. I don't seem to have a whole lot of people from New Zealand on the channel, which is weird. I would have assumed I'd get more New Zealand subscribers, and I know it's not as densely populated as other places, but I don't often see people from NZ pop up, so that's cool. Alright, so what we got coming up is a little bit of channel news and updates, as well as Q&A and whatever else, so feel free to ask me some questions, and we'll get onto it. So what's coming up pretty soon, I finally shot the video of the Studio Pro Red Stripe down here, so that's done. And it's a pretty cool sounding amp. Funny thing is, I think I kind of like the Silver Stripe Studio Pro more, and just in terms of amp functionality. I think the Silver Stripe one, man, it sounds pretty epic. It really does, and it's really loud as well. The Red Stripe Bandit I prefer over the Silver Stripe Bandit for whatever reason. It's just the Bandit's actually louder and better sounding. So it's weird. It's weird that the Red Stripe Studio Pro isn't quite up to the tone of the Silver Stripe one in some ways. It's got its advantages as well, but I'll get into that in a video coming up. All right, Jacksonville, Florida, Nashville, San Antonio. Cool. Canada, or Canadia, as they like to be called, all the way up there in Canadia. Man, I had a friend who used to say that all the time. And she was blonde. Anyway. Alright. So we got people from everywhere here. Timothy Shane, I'm a fellow lefty in Australia, going to the US in Jan for work. Did you play any of the Rickenbacker guitars at Jerry's? Rickenbacker, I don't think I did. I think he had maybe a 12-string one or something, but I don't recall seeing too many there, so you might want to check that he's actually got some. Do I know if that orange Gretsch is for sale? If you mean the Chet Atkins one that I just demoed, I think it is. But it's a 1960s one, legit, old school. It's probably going to be expensive, just a heads up. But if you can afford it, go for it. It's a beautiful guitar. Out of all those four, I'd probably take the Gretsch. It felt great. It's got that padding sort of stuff on the back as well. It was pretty cool. But yeah, just check. I don't recall seeing too many Rickenbacker guitars there. But like I said, I could be wrong. So Hab says, do I own a Flying V? I don't. I used to have one, actually. I had a Gibson Flying V. It was before the studio models came out. So this is probably back in 2007 or 8. I got it for around $1,500. It had an almost like tree-like feel on the back of the neck. And that's one thing I didn't really like about it, this particular model. It had a very rough, very sticky, and very textured back of the neck, which I didn't end up liking as much as I thought I was going to like. But tone-wise, man, it was so good. It was such a great guitar tone-wise. I love the Flying Vs. I played a Dean Flying V made in the US when I was at Jerry's, and that was arguably some of the best tone I had on any of the videos that I shot there. It was really, really good. Yeah, that Dean Flying V, man, that holds its own with anything. It's really great. The only other thing about them too is you can't really play them sitting down. Some people say you can sort of put it in between your legs like a classical guitar player, but that doesn't feel good to me playing it like that. I don't know if it's because I'm shorter, you know, I'm not like 6'3" or anything like that, but for me personally, that doesn't feel great playing a Flying V seated with it up like that. I'd prefer to play a guitar the right way. So if you buy a Flying V, practice with it when you're standing up. That would be my suggestion. They're not a sit down kind of instrument. Andrea says, Shane, I really appreciate that you always try to answer our questions from San Jose, Costa Rica. Nice. By the way, have you tried the Yamaha THR10? My tube amp is way too loud and I'm trying to find something. Yeah, I have. They're good. They're a good sounding little amp. They're not loud, or they're not going to blow your mind in terms of their output volume, but they're good. For what you want it for, they're probably going to be fine. Just don't expect them to sound like an amp with an 8-inch speaker or anything like that. They just don't. They have a very produced kind of guitar track sort of sound that sounds great. So I don't own one. I find they're a little bit too expensive in relation to like other amplifiers that are out there. A really good home practice amp, if you can find one used, check out the Pathfinder 15R, the one with reverb. They're a solid state amp. They just sound great. They really do sound great. So that would be a really good choice. What is that movie poster behind me? I think was one of those questions before this scroll of the chat happened. So I've got, you might notice I've always got one sort of random poster on the wall now. This one is an Italian horror movie. It's cheesy, but it's awesome. It's one of those movies where the lead actor starts with an English accent, and by the end of it, he just sort of gives up and he just talks like American. Oh, no. He's an American accent at the start, and then he just ends up talking English at the end, as in his accent. So there's something to be said. I don't know how many of you are into horror movies, whatever, but there's something to be said for Italian horror movie special effects, man. That's Fulci, Lucia Fulci's Zombie. It's also known as a few other titles out there as well, but if you look it up, it's definitely cool. So I'm mixing up the posters from time to time. I've actually got a whole lot more printed, and the giveaway will start for something, you know, other than what I've got on the wall after 80,000 subs. So we'll be doing more pedal giveaways coming up. Webcam is working very well. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate that. Yeah, I thought I'd mix it up. This webcam's pretty good, so I figure it should do the job. Saw your video on the treble bleed. We'll try it on my Strat. Yeah, they'll work fine for that. I had a lot of people asking me like what were the specs on it and all that kind of stuff. I had a link in the description. Check it out. It's the only one that Place sells, and you can definitely check out the specs on its resistance and all that kind of thing. I'm not good with memorizing that sort of stuff, so I try not to. All right. Vicious says, what would I recommend as a beginner audio interface? I'm Aussie too. So if you're in Australia, there's two that I would suggest. One is the UR22 MK2 by Universal Audio. I've got two of those. I reckon they're fantastic. I bought one just on a whim and I thought, you know what, I'm going to see if this is any good, and it's great. So I bought a second one and it's right here. So I'll show you. Excuse my desk. So it's right there. As you can see, I own it. And it's not good just because I own it, but I liked it that much that I bought a second one. The other one that everyone buys is, I just want to get the exact model of it. I always forget the actual model of it. It's the Focusrite, anyway. The one that you probably want is the one with two microphone inputs. Is it the 2i4? I think it's called the 2i4 or something like that. They're a pretty good audio interface. I wouldn't go any cheaper than that. Look, Rode are making one, which I haven't tried, that looked pretty cool as well. But I don't know. I don't think you can go too far wrong with either the UR22 or the Focusrite stuff. They both stood the test of time. I wouldn't opt for going for an M-Box because you're limited and it comes with software you might not want. At least with these ones, you can use it with everything. You're not limited on what hardware works with software and all that. So this comes with Cubase and all that kind of stuff as well. So that might already get you started. I've used enough audio interfaces now and I've had lots. I mean, if you want to spend more, you can get stuff like the Motu, which is even better. But I use that for all of my videos now. And they're great. I can mic up my amp and it doesn't clip. It's just a really good interface. But I would highly suggest you getting the one with the two mic inputs, because two mics are better than one, always, just in case. All right, Nick the Blues Man, how are you? How is it bringing a guitar back from the US to Australia? The only thing that isn't easy about it is carrying it around with you. If you're traveling a lot, it sucks. If you're going to like California and then you're coming home, then that's all right. But I've picked up guitars in like Chicago or Texas, and then I've had to fly back through three airports to LA and then home. That's what sucks. Everything else about it is easy. I wouldn't worry about customs a whole lot unless they pull you up on it. You generally don't even have to declare a lot of stuff. I know a lot of guys that just say they bought it. They already had it when they went to the States. If you want to declare it, you can. I've done that with guitars before, but it's only if it's worth more than $1,000. Otherwise, you don't have to. You don't have to worry about any of the Rosewood rules or anything like that. The CITES thing, you might want to look into that. If you're going to ship it home and it's got a rosewood neck, you're going to have problems. If you're carrying it with you on a plane or putting it in luggage or whatever, you're going to be fine. I would make sure you don't lock the case as well, if it's a TSA case or something like that, like a Fender one, because they'll break the locks off to check it. So don't lock it. Just put a piece of tape around it or something like that if it's in a hard case. Strats or any bolt-on neck guitar, gig bag, bring it with you on the plane, you're good to go. I've done that probably 5 times, so you won't have any problems with that. And guitars like Strats are indestructible too. I probably wouldn't go putting a $5,000 or $6,000 Gibson or whatever, not that I'd buy one anyway, but in the luggage, I just wouldn't. I would not risk that at all. Have I used the MXR Micro Amp Plus, and what are your thoughts of it? I've just borrowed this really big pedal board off a friend of mine, and it's got an MXR pedal on there, but I'm not 100% certain if it's got the micro amp on there. But I've used it. They're the white boost pedals. Yeah, of course. They're loud. They're very, very loud, but they're just like a big clean boost, basically. They're no different, essentially, to like a Booster Grande or the Maxon dual booster pedal, which is probably still my personal favorite one. But yeah, if you're looking for a clean boost, they're friggin' loud. So definitely check them out. All right. That blue Dean Flying V suited me. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. It's totally cool. It was an absolute beast. All right. Tracy says, I prefer to make my own treble bleeds. It's a better experiment to find the values that work best for you. Better to experiment. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to do that, then go for it. I know Emerson Pro parts know their stuff. I put all their pots in my guitars and all that kind of stuff. They're awesome. So a really reliable piece of equipment. Guitar Fender says the video and audio are perfect. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I don't know where my other camera goes, but I tend to use like a HDMI video camera and all that kind of stuff, but I hate having to move things from one room to the other. So if this works out all right, I'm going to stick to doing it this way. It's saved on my streaming software, so we're good to go. All right, could you explain... This is from Gina. Could you explain how to get an overdrive pedal dialed in for a low volume blues crunch tone? I have a Fender 40 watt Champ and two Tone City pedal overdrive, Sweet Cream and the Lime Green one. I'm not sure what the Lime Green one is off the top of my head, but the Sweet Cream, basically set up the volume of... You can do it a couple of ways. You can either turn your amp up and then turn the pedal down to get the volume that you want, or you can set the amp up at a point and then set your pedal for unity or louder or softer. It's the same thing, but the way I would probably do it is get the clean tone up to whatever volume you like, turn the pedal on, and then just turn up the gain on the pedal and make sure the volume doesn't get a whole lot louder. That would be the way that I would do it. In terms of the Sweet Cream's kind of like an off-clean overdrive pedal, it's not going to give you like a really saturated kind of blues tone. So it's one of those things where that might not be the best pedal for getting like a really dirty blues tone. It wouldn't be the choice. You know, the Dry Martini one might be a better one, or I'm just trying to think. It's been ages since I've really thought about those pedals, but they're good pedals, by the way. I just haven't really been around them much the last sort of year and a half. It's usually easier to dial back gain on a pedal than trying to dial more into a pedal that doesn't go very far. So keep that in mind too. Hey, Terry Bear, how are you, man? Let me make you mod. Let's see if that works. Cool. There we go. Yeah, you are now, Terry. Sorry, dude. I think it should be working. I did a bit of a cleanup and I changed a lot of my words in the chat here as well. So it should be good. It should be good. You now have the power. Let me know. Post another comment. See if it works. So my suggestion would be if you want a dirtier blues tone, you could. I don't know what your other pedal is, but you can try stacking that into the other pedal as well and just do the same thing. Just play around with the volume. When you start stacking pedals, you generally have to adjust the tone control, the EQ control, to add more highs in on the pedal that you're stacking into it. That's what I found. So if you've got the volume or tone control, say at 12 o'clock, the pedal that's first going into the other pedal, which then goes into the amp, set the tone control a little higher. That would be my suggestion. There we go. Yeah, I unmodded everybody just to clean up. But I knew you'd be back, so it's all good. All right. Any Jet City love down under? I have a 20 watt HV head, $249. Jet City stuff you don't really see too much anymore. They made a push a little while back, maybe like 4 years ago. But I really haven't seen any Jet City stuff anywhere. One thing of theirs I'd like to test is their isolation cabinet. I know they make, you know, a 12-inch silent, they say silent recording cabinet. It isn't silent. None of those things are silent. But I'd love to try one of them just to see what they're like. If I can find one, I might pick one up secondhand, but I wouldn't buy one new. Those things are always way too expensive. But I guess the question was... any love for Jet City stuff? I don't see any in my friend circle. No one plays them. I'm not saying that they're not good, but I just don't come across them. I don't see them in shops anymore for whatever reason, and none of my friends or people that I know from the jam nights have Jet City stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's just not a bluesy sort of thing. I don't know. Terry says, love the shirt. Thanks, man. Yeah, I've had this for years. I used to get really weird looks when I'd wear this and walk down the street. I went and picked up some groceries and stuff earlier, and people were like, look at me kind of funny. So, yeah, it's crazy. Hey, Lando27, how are you, man? So, for folks who don't know Landon's channel, check him out, Lando27 Music. Give him a subscribe if you're into guitar stuff. He does some pretty unique videos. And some amusing ones as well, with some sort of stop motion animation, which is great. So check it out. All right, I had a Kirk says, Kenny, sorry, says I'm in Hampton Park. If you want to review any Jet City amps, hit me up. Cool, man. All right, sweet. Appreciate that. It's one of those things I just haven't come across much of. You know, a few shops had them, and then those shops either shut down or they stopped supplying them for whatever reason. I don't know what it was. They just never really took off. Kind of like Bugera, you know. I used to see a lot of Bugera amps, like that one back there. Where is it? There. around, but I don't see too many in shops anywhere anymore. I think they're more of an online brand. I had a question here. Where was it? I had a Jet City amp head once. It was decent, not particularly memorable. Yeah, I tried one of their, I think it was a 15 or 20 watt head, and it was okay, but it didn't blow my mind at the time. But not to say they don't make good stuff, because they probably do. It's B-Low says, going to GitCon next time around. I don't think so, man. I really don't think that's my kind of thing. A good friend of mine's turning 40. I can't believe it. We're getting to that age. I got a few years left, but she's turning 40 in June or July. So I'll probably, well, not in June or July. It means I'm going to be going over there in June or July for that. So we'll see how we go. But I don't think I'm going to go to GitCon. I doubt I'll be invited again anyway. So, you know, I wish them all well. The guys go. What I might do at some point, like, I had a chance to go to Summer NAMM this year for free. Like, a company wanted to pay for me to go in exchange for branding on my videos, which I just sort of said, that's not really what I want to do. I'll leave that to the other guys for now. I mean, I want to go to NAMM, right? Like, I definitely want to go there. I'll go there as a guest wanting to look around. I'll take a camera, but it'll just be maybe like a big Guitar Search Saturday or something. I'm not that overly interested in interviewing companies and all that kind of stuff. If I go, I'll hang out with the guys that I know, and then I'll go do something else. But it'll be part of a trip. It won't just be going over there for 4 days. It's a long way for that. I can't justify that. Hey, Wade, how are you, man? We've got Let's Rock It Right. It took me a while to work that one out. From Idaho, how you going? Any thoughts on running into two amps? I've just found it too much of a hassle, and it's easier to find a sound in one amp. Absolutely. I gigged with two amps for maybe 4 gigs, and I had two massive problems with that. I could never get the balance of the volume right. Now, I might have made the mistake of having... I played in a trio for a long time, right? So I might have made the mistake of having two amps really far apart as opposed to stacked or right next to each other. I also found I'd get a lot of ground loop hum, which you can avoid that, the DI box and all that sort of stuff. But it means more stuff to carry. For the music that I play where I don't necessarily need a lot of stereo effects, it wasn't really that important to me to have a stereo amp set up. Excuse me. So for me... It wasn't that important, but it's funny you mention that, because what I'm going to do before, you can probably see I got two Studio Pro 112s down here. I'm going to do a how to set that amp, how to set up a stereo amp kind of video at some point as well, and do something like that. It's one of those videos that I'm going to make sure I get all the right bits and pieces together before I do that. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Damon says, NAM seems like BS to me. That's the thing. Like, I don't really... I'm not... I love doing what I do, right? But what I don't like doing is kind of networking with companies. I just don't enjoy that at all. And that's kind of what NAM is. It's like, hey, I've got a YouTube channel here. Check me out. That's not what I do. I don't even send out emails anymore to companies. And maybe one every now and then, maybe one a month or something. But I really don't go out of my way to contact companies. I just let the channel speak for what I do. And if they want to send me something to demo the or review, then that's what I do. I don't really want to get in with a lot of companies that don't interest me. I really don't. I'd rather not make videos. I'd rather do stuff that I think, you know what, I want to do this because it's different. Not everyone will agree with that, but that's to me what NAM is. It's a lot of networking that I'm really not that interested in. And the video quality that comes out of there is pretty bad as well. A lot of noise and I'm just not interested. I used to work for Roland in Canada. This is from Dave. I used to hate going to NAM. At the end, you feel like you've been beaten by a bat because of the constant onslaught of noise. Yeah, let's put it this way. I went to the Melbourne Guitar Show for the first time this year. I put a couple of videos up from that. I went with Rick and I went with Ryan and a few of my other friends were there as well, like Alex and all that. We all hated it after about an hour. We were like, actually even less. We got there early. We had a pass so we could get in a little early and we went around, had a look around. And that was fine. But once it got busy, we were like, this is awful. Like, this isn't nice or relaxing or fun. It's just loud and annoying because there's lots of people. You're sort of cramped in trying to walk around, people bumping into you and all that. And that, to me, isn't fun. And I can only imagine NAM being way bigger. But if I'm ever in Florida at the time of year where the Nashville one's on, I'll get a car and I'll go up there or I'll fly up there or something. And check it out. But I want to check it out just to go have a look and then assess whether or not it's something I want to pursue on the channel, because I've said this a million times and I know a lot of new subscribers won't know why I don't go to these things, but I just try to do something different and I try to focus on the stuff I enjoy or the things I think might be interesting or a point of difference. And being cramped in a really loud place with lots of people doesn't excite me a whole lot. The only thing I'd miss out on is hanging out with the guys that I know. But to fly all that way for a few days from Australia, it's a long journey. I've done that for work once. I used to work for an American company. I used to fly to Boston for 3 days. I spent just as much time between flights, like on the flights back and forth, as I did actually on the ground. And that's just no fun. I like to spend at least 3 weeks when I go away. And I don't know if I could just justify or afford to do that in January or Feb or whenever NAM is. So Wade says, go to NAM at least once to say you did it. Absolutely, I will. But I'm going to go just because I want to check it out. So, and it'll be while I'm over there anyway. Why do I feel tension about you and GitCon? Look, like I said, man, it's just not for me. I'm not one to get cozy with companies and all that. That doesn't interest me at all. And that I tried to explain this a number of times why I didn't want to go. And I really felt like, whether or not you believe me or not, I felt like I made a good decision in not going for me personally. Doesn't mean that everyone's going to agree with that, and I totally get that. But I didn't want to go. And I can appreciate people who do want to go. But yeah, just wasn't for me, guys. Quentin says, sorry, but NAM is a sales event. It's not there for YouTubers. Oh, totally. Absolutely. But without the YouTubers, no one would know of this stuff. They would have to rely on their own channels to get promo out. And some of these channels, these big companies that are global, have less subscribers than me, which is kind of insane how that works. So I totally agree with you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do your own thing makes you real. That's what I've tried to do the entire time. So NAM is a business. GitCon, however, is different, but it's a business too. It'll turn into a big product show. That's my like overview of how that's probably going to go. It's for the YouTubers as well, but they're essentially doing the same thing in a more controlled environment. Doesn't interest me that much, you know. Like I said, it's not how I've tried to develop my channel. Would it be good networking with those guys? Absolutely. But at the same time, if I went and just did videos with those guys and didn't shoot any of the other stuff, it would be a waste of money for the company flying me out there. I'm not just thinking about it from my perspective. It's like, well, you know, I was basically given the opportunity to go and not shoot any videos, and I thought that's kind of weird. But anyway. Terry says the GitCon thing would be closer to your bag. Yeah, I agree. Like, out of NAMM and GitCon, I'd probably rather go to GitCon. But it's just one of those things, guys. Like, not everybody wants to do what everyone else is doing, and not everyone likes situations like that as well. That's another thing for me. I'm not really... like, I'm probably personable on some level. For those who know me in person or have spoken to me on live streams, you probably know what I'm like, and this is what I'm like, but I'm not that big of a people's person. Like, I don't like being in gatherings where I know there's going to be a lot of videos and stuff that might not interest me as well. For me, anyway, that's not really that thing. For me, the YouTuber interactions at KidCon were better than the product reviews. Absolutely. Totally. I totally agree. And that's the great thing about it. Kirk says, I really like you saying no to GitCon. Much as the people who went were pretty authentic about it, it's still a giant promo for Warwick and Framus. Yep. Well, that's the thing. You know, it is about the YouTubing side of it as well, but it's about the company that are paying for that. So keep that in mind. I have a feeling in a few years, while it will still be more controlled environments, there's going to be more companies going to that than... there were this year, and you know, it'll continue to grow, but you'll probably see a whole lot more product stuff come through, and that's fine. That's what it's about. It just doesn't excite me, you know. Oh man, Dylan, thanks, dude. Merry Christmas. Buy yourself 30 pack of Pepsi Max from Woolies, half the price stuff. Oh dude, that's awesome, man. So for those who don't know, I have a bit of a caffeine addiction. And I keep saying I gotta quit, and I quit for like a month or 3 months, and then I get back on it. And I saw that pack today, man. I was like, you know what? That's a deal, and I didn't have my car. So what I'll do now, I'll go back and get a box. Dude, that's awesome. Thanks, man. That's too funny. That's too funny. Kenny says, man, that just made me laugh, man. That's awesome. Kenny B says, I'd be socially awkward in being in a room with people for a week. Look, I know I'd be very particular with who I speak to and who I want on my channel and who I don't want on my channel. And I think that would be reason... like, there's a lot of great guys that went there, right? Absolutely. You know, you got Lewis, Tone King, Philip McKnight, Pixie Lick Steve, who I've met in person. Awesome guy. I know a lot of the other guys who declined as well. And if they had have gone, it would have been awesome for them. And they're great guys as well. A lot of people on there, though, I don't want on my channel for one reason or another. And I already can tell, like, every time I collaborate with anyone... there's people that don't like it, right? But there's people that I don't want to collaborate with just based on my own experience with them behind the scenes. And that just doesn't excite me at all. And I almost would feel like I would have no choice but to do that. And then I wouldn't be authentic to myself. So, I don't know. Anyway, that's just one of those things. So, thanks again to Dylan, man. That's hilarious, dude. That is so funny. Wait says, you're the globe-trotting lefty Guitar Search Saturday dude that's doing your own thing, and that's interesting. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. So, thank God this week I actually have the next and final episode of the year coming up. Finally. It's like 15 minutes or so. I won't give too much of it away, but it's shot in Boston. So, love or hate it where it's shot, it's good fun. It's got Steve Pixie Licks in there as well, so that'll be up. Larimo S, I think that's how you pronounce that. Sorry if it isn't. Says, I'm looking into the PRS Lefty. Any problems with yours? Absolutely not. Now, nothing major, right? I'm going to tell you what I had to do to get it to be perfect. It's right here, actually. So let's break this out. Let's check something, right? It's still in tune, and I'll tell you why. When I got it, oh, where's my camera over here? Oops, just smashed it on the table. There's little screws in here, little Phillips head screws on the tuners. I needed to tighten them up. Otherwise, it was spot on. The only other thing I had to do was change the intonation on two strings as well. And the reason probably is because I locked the... It comes with an extra spring for the tremolo system. So I've got it sitting so when I bend the strings, the tremolo doesn't lift up off the body. So I had to adjust the E and the B string a little bit in intonation-wise. And it's really, really easy to do on this guitar. So it's nice and simple. And that's it. I haven't done anything else. So in terms of it just playing great... I saw a comment on one of my videos saying a guy had ordered one from a shop. It turned up and it had marks on the fretboard and his particular one wasn't right. This is perfect. All of my friends that have seen this are like, man, that guitar is amazing. And it sounds awesome too. I've seen the red, I can't remember what the red's called, but it's like a red version of this as well. It's Sky Music. They got the second one in and it looks so good. I was like, damn it, I want another one. I got to say, I've had so many more compliments on my playing since I've been playing this than I have in a long time. I don't know what that is. A couple of my good friends who are much better guitar players than I am says this sort of unleashes something different in your playing, and I really like that. I got to say, though, I don't really find the single coil tones very good, just in general. They're okay. Right, but the humbucker tones, this thing kills just about everything on humbucker. It kills my Tokais in terms of chirp and top end and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I haven't had any problems with this at all. I haven't had to adjust the neck. I should point out, though, I put tens on this for the first time as opposed to playing 11s. So I'm not sponsored by Diodario either, guys. I know someone will mention that. I wish I was. Bloody strings in Australia, man. So expensive. So I think you're going to be in for a treat. I'm sure there's duds in every guitar that you buy. Like there'll be one dud in however many. But I'm like stunned that I could pick a guitar up for this price that plays and sounds as good as it does. It's completely 100% convinced a friend of mine, Dr. Rick, who... he's an absolute snob when it comes to guitars. We're going to go check out some right-handed ones because he loves the sound of that. So, all right. Sorry about the spiel there about the... about the PRS, but it's one of those things where, I'm like, it's probably pretty obvious how much I like that guitar. And I've got a couple of pedal demos that I shot some intro clips with this guitar on, and I don't ever say I played great, but I played much better than I was expecting, and I just jammed. Some of the intros go for probably a little longer than they should, but I really dig it. I really dig it. Hey, Robert Baker, how are you, man? Far out. Now, I don't know what happened on YouTube, but for years I never knew who Robert Baker was. We spoke on a couple of channel like live streams before, I think with Tone King, was it? Or was it on... Yeah, I think it was his channel. And I checked out your channel, man, and I've been like picking bits and pieces out of some of the stuff, and his channel rocks. So no wonder you got so many subscribers, man. Far out. Check it out. You're into guitar lessons and sort of theory stuff. Give him a look because he's an absolute gun at what he does. This is one of the reasons why I probably don't do lessons is because there's guys like Robert doing stuff like that. So, all right. let's go through my chat. Every time I go to pop the chat out, it says this video is unavailable. So bear with me one sec. I'm going to launch a browser window up instead of this back end thing so I can actually see the comments, hopefully in their entirety. I've got a window about this big, which is making it pretty hard to see what's going on. So let's try this. All right, there we go. That's better. So if you're enjoying the stream, guys, please give it a thumbs up. Appreciate that. We've got 100 people in here and 110, 7, something like that, and 29 thumbs up. Or if you don't like it, give it a thumbs down. It doesn't matter either way. And you might wonder why it doesn't matter, because it's all good feedback. So, yeah. All right. So I've got the stream up here, or the chat. All right. I probably missed a few things here. Let me scroll back. That's all my TV YouTube recommends. Rob in the Blues, Ian Stitch, who I don't know either. Okay. I think YouTube thinks I'm obsessed. Yeah, the more you watch of something, the more they suggest other videos. I found that. I watched a couple of videos by this amazing YouTube creator or company, whatever, called Red Letter Media. They do movie reviews. And they're hilarious. Like, they're the best. And I find, like, every other night, I'd get on YouTube and I'd be like, oh, wow, here's another one. So I click on that. Then all of a sudden, they're just, like, giving me all of their videos. So, you know, that's how people get subscribers. I think once you get on a roll with a few channels, it tends to, you know, give you more of the same stuff that it knows you think or it thinks you might be interested in. That's the algorithm right there. Robert says, that's a sharp looking guitar. Thanks, man. I love it. I'm stunned how good it is. I might borrow the red one and just see if I can see what if it plays just as well. All right. What do I think would be a better purchase for home use? A Blues Junior or a Blues Cube Hot? For home use, the Blues Cube Hot, you could probably get a better sound at a lower volume than, and so I think they've got the power attenuator. I've used one and I've demoed it. I just can't remember if that's, I know they're all the rest of the Blues Cube range have the power attenuator, and I'm pretty sure that one does as well. That means you can drop the volume down without it sort of losing its tone and it, to make it more acceptable for home use. Thing with the Blues Juniors are, although they're physically pretty small in a home environment, they're pretty loud. Like, I remember when I got one back here and I plugged it in, I went, whoa, all right, I won't be able to turn that up much. So I would probably opt for the Blues Cube based on the fact that if you're just using it at home, it's going to be fine. If you're using them live, it's subjective. I still think the Blues Cube Hot has the advantage because it's a much louder amplifier. And you think the Watts thing, you know, solid state watts versus tube watts. The tube amp's always going to be louder, right? It isn't. I turned them up to 10 in one of the shootout videos I did. And man, the Blues Cube Hot was just blisteringly loud. So, yeah, they're both very similar in physical size. And that's going to be its one limitation at louder volumes. You know, the box contributes to the overall sound a lot. But in terms of the Blues Cube, I think that would be the better choice, in my opinion. So, Rob and Pixie need a PRS next. Yeah, it. I think. Well, I'd like to hope that a couple of other guys get a chance to test these out and post some reviews on them, because I don't know, man. The pickups that are in these are just stunning. No, I don't think I'm going to buy a Hagstrom right now. I've already got a 335 style guitar, so I don't really need another guitar along those lines. But it's B-Lo says, not a fan of PRS pickups. Paul's thinking on pickups, just not my flavor at all. Yeah, same. I hadn't really played a PRS that I thought, wow, this is amazing. Not to say that they're not physically beautiful and they're built well and all that. I just never thought to myself, yeah, I'm going to end up with a PRS until I played that. that just sounded awesome. In the live mix, it's great. They're nice and clear. The sustain's great. They just do. They sound different to what you might be accustomed to, whether it be a Stratotele or a Les Paul or whatever. So they've got their own sound, and that's a good thing. But they don't ever replace a Les Paul or a 335 or whatever. They've got a different tone. I just think the playability and usability of it, and its light, all that kind of stuff, just was, it ticked a lot of boxes for me. I never thought I'd own one of these. If you asked me, you know, a couple of years ago, am I going to get a PRSSE? Well, there weren't any, right? But that aside, I was like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I haven't really seen one that jumped out at me, but I love it. I love it. And that's the great thing too. It's all subjective. So what one person likes, and this is why I always say the same thing. Anytime someone says to me, what amp should I buy out of this and that? Play them both and make up your own mind. And same goes for that question I answered before. But for home use, it's a different story. But if you're going to be playing live, I always say, play both, see which one you like the best. Joel Pickett says, does coil split slash tap ever sound any good though? Absolutely. I did a Guitar Mondays video with Ryan, who is an absolute monster player. And on the thumbnail, he's got like a gold top PRS, so it's a different model. That thing sounds unbelievable on split coil mode. We put it up against a Strat and everything, and it was next to no difference in sound. So maybe a little bit different, but it was completely convincing. I just think like the voicing of these pickups really shine on humbucker mode because they're already clear and chirpy. I find like the split coil thing just gets a little bit too thin. I don't know. I've tried it live, and I didn't dislike them 100%, but I don't think I'd ever play this on single coil mode. I wouldn't feel the need to. Or split coil, whatever you want to call it. Or coil tapping. That 25-inch scale length will make you play differently. Maybe that's what it is. I just find it really easy to play. And because the neck's flat, as opposed to having a weird curve or anything like that, something about that makes it feel better to play. I it's just one of those things. Gotta love it when a new guitar is just right, and when you get it, most are not at any price point. My Gibsons were not, but a 1500 made in Mexico Taylor acoustic was perfect straight out of the case. Yeah, it comes down to the brand, man. I mean, Taylor make great stuff. Are they the GS Mini guys that make that guitar? The GS Mini? Are they made by Taylor? I think they are. This is the best acoustic guitar I've ever played. And I've played guitars worth 10 grand, guitars worth 50 bucks. The GS Mini was easily the best straight off the shelf. You know, I think tonight I've got two mini acoustic guitar videos coming. Oh, one video, but with two mini acoustic guitars. And that'll be up tonight, I'm pretty sure, or maybe tomorrow. And that particular guitar has nothing on the GS Mini, and the GS Mini is like half the price. So, yeah. Jack Daniels says, Shane single-handedly increased the price of PV's online. Sorry, I misread this. Shane single-handedly increased the price of PV's online. The bargains are getting harder to find. Yeah, they are. I don't know if I'm totally responsible for that. Maybe for the Red Stripe Bandit hype. I think I was somewhat responsible for that online. I'll take credit I'm guilty of that. But, yeah. Look, it really comes down to who's selling it and how much do they know about gear. I wouldn't pay more than $150 for a PV Bandit in good condition or a Studio Pro. Maybe $170, but I wouldn't pay any more than that. I see these same amps listed in far less quality in terms of their, you know, they've been beaten up for $300, and that guy will have it online till the end of time. So, Nicholas says, Shane, you look and sound very content and happy with your PRS, and your playing shines more on the PRS than all the guitars I've heard you play. Love the podcast. Keep it up. Thanks. All right. So the podcast is something I haven't done for a while. As you may know, I have a podcast on iTunes. It's free to listen to and all that kind of stuff. I also put segments of that on YouTube, but I haven't done that for a while. All being well, I'm going to start that back up early Jan. I just haven't had time. I've been pumping out content. So the idea was to do like 50 videos in 50 days. Well, the idea wasn't that initially, right? The idea was to do a video a day in December, but I went back and had a look and I'd been doing like 20 days prior to that already with daily content, or maybe more. So it's turned into something like 50 videos in 50 days was the idea. Then it was like, actually, some days I've had two videos go live. So it's like 56 videos in 50 days or something silly. Once this is out of the way, I'll have all the pedal stuff caught up and done. And then I'll have less pedal demos going into Jan and onwards. I just, you know, December's a good time of year to be doing YouTube stuff as well. So the more stuff I get done this month, you know, I can put the time into doing different content January onwards as well. All right. So anyway, thanks for the comments about the podcast. I do plan on doing more of those. That was where I was getting to at the end. So Kurt says, I bought the Wampler Tumblers Deluxe and it sounds brilliant with a Katana, clean channel, but also drives my Tourmaster nicely. Highly suggest trying one. Well, I owned or I had a Wampler Tumblers regular and a Klon and about three other pedals that were pretty much the same. I know that one's got the EQ controls and all that kind of stuff, but for me, I would probably try to make it sound like the Klon. I don't really think it needs a whole lot of extra EQ, but Brian makes really cool overdrive pedals and I'm sure it would be great, but I'm a little cloned out. I think there was one point I had like six different types of clones. Now I'm down to two. I kept the Shelly Pony Boy, which is made in Florida. They're like $100. They're awesome. And I kept the Anasounds. What's it called? I don't know, but it's made in France. It's great. But yeah, I'm sure the Wampler Tumblers Deluxe is great, but I've owned a Tumblers, so I know what they're like. They're really cool. PRS neck pickups sound too woofy and muddy. You should try one of these. They don't sound like that at all. It's got more clarity than my Telecaster, so keep that in mind. I think blanket statements like that aren't accurate. Doesn't matter what it is about. I could say all 335s have a muddy neck pickup, but they don't. I made that blanket statement on Hagstrom guitars, and I took that back as soon as I played that recent Viking. So the ones that I had been in contact with didn't sound that great. The last Hagstrom I demoed sounded amazing. So it's one of those things where you've just got to try stuff. And like I said, if you're a Telecaster fan or you like the strattiness of a Strat neck pickup, that sounds different, but it sounds just as clear in a different way. A local CL ad for a PV linked up with one of Shane's videos. Yeah, I got a few videos on PV's website at the moment. My friend Rick is in a couple of them as well, which makes me laugh. I really enjoyed your... This is from Surfing Dwarf. I really enjoyed your testing 4x 1960s vintage guitars video. I have a couple of vintage Fender 62 Jag and a 52 Mustang. I can help with the Jag switches. Oh, yeah. So the Jag switches, you need like a engineering degree to work out how that works. Sorry, I just got a text message. So Jerry's got a pretty awesome collection of lefties, as you probably realize, but he's got a couple in his personal collection, which are amazing. I haven't released any of the acoustic stuff yet. One of them's like a 1940s guitar. One goes back, I think, even further. The Martin I got to try, which was an amazing sounding guitar, was this early 60s, like a 64 Martin or something like that as well. So he's got some great stuff. All right. Here goes the chat. Sorry, I'm a little slow here, guys. I said I'd make this an hour, but we might go a little longer. We'll see how we go. All right. Any discount? Here's a good question. This is from Devon. Oh, actually, I'll take that in a sec. There's a couple above it that I missed as well. Terry says, I concur with the fretboard radius thing. I didn't like the 7.25 radius. It plays better than the as soon as the radius flattens out. Yeah, I agree. I was a bit unsure of it myself, but I let my fingers make the decision. If it feels good, it is good. I don't usually buy any guitars that have a relatively thin neck, and this is one of those flat wides. I think I called it a fat wide by accident, but it's not super fat, but I think something about the way the neck feels makes it easy to play. Terry asks, is getting a new Fender Mustang worth getting? I like the tone of it. I just watched the 1960 videos. Oh, okay. So Fender, I'm thinking Fender Mustang amps. It's only worth it if you like it. If it's a guitar that you like the sound of and the feel of and all that kind of stuff, then, you know, you need to justify that for yourself. If you already own a Strat or you've got a Tele or whatever, you might not want one. I don't know. I know the pickups are different and they've got some different options, but my thing would be just try them out. Don't buy it without picking one up. You might not be what you're after. They're a bit different too, so, you know, just keep that in mind. All right. Getting blamed for the PV Bandit price increase here. All right, so favorite Strat pickup position. I'd say overall neck, followed closely by... It depends, man. It really depends on what I'm playing. On my particular guitar, I really like bridge and middle. There's something clear and really nice about that that works for that particular guitar. But if I'm soloing, generally I'll take neck and bridge. I don't really use middle pickup at all. I'll use that in combination with neck and bridge. I very rarely use neck and middle. I find that a little too rolled off in the high end on my particular guitar. Others I've played have more clarity on those positions, on neck and middle. But on mine, yeah, I would usually spend most of the night on neck or bridge. So, yeah, that's one or the other. But if I had to just pick one, I'd probably take the neck pickup. All right. Any discontinued guitar that you'd like to make a comeback? Yeah, look, there's a few that I can think of. I know you can still get them sometimes, but they're not available as a catalog item anymore. In terms of lefties, I'd take a left-handed Epiphone Casino. I'd love one of those. I've said that a few times. All the ones that I've found so far have been overseas, and they've got fretware and all that kind of stuff. So that would be one that I've said to Sky Music, you know, you ever get one of them, I'll buy it. Just let me know. And that they're having trouble finding them as well. So I think they've been discontinued. What else? That would be probably the first one that comes to mind, at least, anyway. Some bellend on Vancouver's Craigslist is asking $400 for a red stripe PV Bandit. Tell him good luck with that. You know, back in the day, I've had four of them, right? Like, this isn't my first red stripe PV Bandit. I bought them, you know, if I wasn't working at that particular time or whatever, I'd sell stuff and buy stuff for the channel, all that kind of stuff. So I had four of them. The most I ever sold one for was $275, and the most I ever paid for one was $275. Other than that, you can find these ones for, you know, I think I paid $160 for mine, and I paid cash for it as well. Got it down from like $175. Yeah, but when I picked up the Silverstripe PV Studio Pro, you know, $100, mint condition, man. Like, there's deals to be had. And I mean, the better deal was the Red Stripe one. I got it with a free microphone and an audio interface and all that kind of stuff. Couldn't go wrong. Mic stand. So you can get lucky. I don't often get that lucky with gear. Maybe I do. I don't know. How do you describe the difference between the PRS and the Gibson Les Paul with burst buckers?
PRS is way clearer, has less bass overall as well, a more balanced kind of sound possibly. It almost made me laugh how muffled the Les Paul sounded after playing the PRS. Not all of them, right? The Burstbuckers one was actually one of the best ones I've played. But in terms of my Les Paul, which isn't a Gibson, it's a Tokai, there's no comparison between the two. And I love the sound of my Tokai. So, yeah, it's just a clearer instrument. It's more akin to like a Telecaster almost, like a fat Telecaster or mini humbuckers. It feels a bit more like that than humbuckers as you traditionally know them in a Les Paul. That's my experience with it. Yeah, Dan says Harley Benton guitars are worth the money. Yeah, look, I've been looking at those online. I mean, Nick in the States has always got something coming up on his channel that I go, maybe I should try one of them. So my old Joe Barton, Danny Gatton pickups, I've kept. I'm not going to sell them. I want to put them in something that's not my 52-reissue Telecaster. So odds are I'll get another Classic Vibe down the line or a traditional Squire, you know, Gold Series 1 or something like that. Or I'll take the punt or chance from overseas on a Harley Benton Tally of some description and just see how they are. It's almost worth giving them a shot. I'm kind of intrigued to try them. One of my ideas for the channel too, as you probably notice, I want to be like the largest left-handed guitar archive in the world. And I probably am right now. I've probably got 100 plus left-handed guitar videos. But it'd be interesting to try some of those guitars because I would buy them with the intention to review them and then probably sell them as opposed to keeping them. Be no point me keeping a $200 guitar if it's a piece of junk when I've got a really nice one I can use for videos and for playing live. But if it's good and I can put my other pickups in there, I'll keep it. So, yeah, I'd like to see what my perspective is on them as opposed to, you know, what other people think of them, because I've played so many guitars over the years. You know, even though I'm a lefty, I've played, you know, probably 1,000 guitars. And, or maybe not that many, but a lot. Probably 500 at least. And I kind of can tell the good from the bad as soon as I get going on them. So it'd be a really interesting thing to try out. And would it affect my playing? That's another question as well. Robert Baker says, got to head out. Have a great night, everyone. It was great. Great to catch the live stream. Chat later, dude. Hey, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it. I shot you an email as well the other day, so check it out if you get a chance. We definitely have to do a hangout or something soon. So let's make that happen. I'll organize a few of the other guys, and we can have a chat whenever works for you guys. So thanks again, man. Appreciate that. And guys, check out his channel. If you haven't already checked out Robert's channel, do yourself a favor and have a look. He pumps out the videos as well, so he works hard on his channel and it shows. I love vintage made 1960s Japan 60s guitars. Yeah, there are nothing wrong with Japanese guitars, especially 60s stuff. I mean, if you can find it, it's great. I see a lot of 70s and onwards Japanese stuff in Australia. The swap shop where I did a guitar search Saturday episode had maybe 50 or 60 Japanese guitars from all eras, and they were amazing. So, totally cool. All right. If I scroll yet, so bear with me. I'll get there. I'm probably most of the way down. Oh. Let me just double check that. I want to see if I've... Bear with me, guys. It might have disconnected. I've just got a notification on my computer that it dropped. All right, it looks like I'm back. So apologies if it dropped. I have no idea what happened. My internet might have glitched. those things happen. So yeah, that big noise, I don't know if you heard it, it was like, hey, you've been disconnected. Awesome. Thank you, Australian Internet. You always do a great job. All right. So if I missed anything, I apologize. Christopher says, have you come across a 64 Fender Deluxe Reverb hand-wired? Yes. 65. Oh, I came across a 66 Fender Deluxe. I did a documentary or a long gear rundown, whichever way you want to look at it, with a mate of mine on my channel. It's called Gear Acquisition Syndrome. Just type that in within the blues at the end. It'll come straight up. My friend Dave actually has, I think, two like a 60s originals. I've heard it and it sounds great, but I've never really had a whole lot of experience using it, so... All right, Terry, I'll check that out, mate. Let me have a look here. So you've sent me a link of something that I probably don't need that I'll end up... Yeah, this is the one, man. The Harley Benton TE-52 vintage. Yeah, that's the one I was kind of looking at, man. That's definitely it. So did the stream drop, guys? What just happened before? I got a notification, so... I'm not too sure exactly what happened there, but it's really odd. All right, some people are saying no glitch. All right, that's weird. I just saw a pop-up saying you've been disconnected. Weird. Oh, well, that's great. Sorry, guys. Okay. Have I been to Southpaw Guitars in Texas? All lefties, I haven't. I was going to try and make a day last trip to go there. It was right as the flood started. So in a way, I guess I'm glad I didn't go. But I'd still definitely love to go there. I've been in contact with Jimmy, I think, is the guy that owns it, or James or something. I wanted to do a Guitar Search Saturday episode there, and he said, yeah, come down. But I'll try to get there at some point, maybe next trip, even just to have a look and sort of check it out. So I would consider myself good friends now with Jerry at Jerry's Lefties. The only reason it sort of worked out with him was I was in the area and I said, this is what I do, can I come down? And I met the guy and it was lovely. And we sort of developed our, you know, friendship and our network like that as well. So it's been really good. I don't often get to Texas. I've been there, I think, once, maybe twice. No, I think it just could be once. I went to Austin and I loved it. It's definitely on my list. Next time I go, maybe I'll get a car and just do some crazy drive across country or something like that. We'll see how we go. Jack Daniels, that's exactly right, man. Someone just says... Oh, here you go. Mitch says, I just got a PRS SE Custom 24. I like it, but I think my intonation is off. So the best way to check, and this is how I did it, I used a plug-in tuner. Don't necessarily use those clip-on ones if you can help it. Get it like a floor tuner. And the way I tested it was tune it to the harmonic on the 12th, like make sure it's in tune, and then fret it and see how far out you are. I had to fix the E and the B string. And I noticed it because when I was playing ridiculously high, I thought my bends were out, but they weren't. My bends were fine. My muscle memory is good with that sort of stuff. And it sounded wrong to my ear. So I just checked my intonation. I was like, oh, wow, that is actually out. So all you have to do is basically adjust the screws here. There's a couple of really good videos on that. There's this Italian guy. I think he's Italian. Does a video on this exact guitar. It just type in PRS intonation or something like that. It should come up. So the guy's got an accent. He's awesome. He gets to the point and he explains it extremely well. I just can't think of the dude's channel name. I don't think I'm subscribed with him. So, hey, Junks, this is a nice haircut. So I'll tell you how this worked out. This wasn't intentional. I've got two sets of clippers that I use. And I used the wrong ones. And I took the front part off. And I went, oh no. So then I essentially like the same thing you'd use on your face. I wasn't thinking. I just burnt. I went, oh no. So I ended up having to use the razor blade. And my beard and my hair were... My beard was actually getting quite long. And it feels really weird having a freshly shaved face. I do this maybe 3 times a year. I usually always have a little bit of stubble. So it feels really weird. Austin is awesome if you love blues. Tons of live music there all the time. Yeah, absolutely. I got to play in Austin, actually, last time I was there. I met a couple of guys. This was before, like... Not before I was doing YouTube, but it was, you know... The channel wasn't big or anything, so it wasn't because people knew of me from YouTube or anything like that. It was just like I went around and met people and played. Went to a few jams, and I met some really killer players, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Shane's Nick in the States spins. Is that some sort of technique joke? Is it? You know, I was trying to. What I see a lot of with people, especially when they do vibratos, there's one thing that I usually just send someone a PM and I say, or direct message inbox thing, and I say to them, don't do vibrato like this, and with your finger flat and bent. See this joint here on your finger should always have a bend this way, never that way. Always this way. So I'm pretty fussy with the way that I bend, and I think, you know, I can tell straight away if someone's technique is a little off. I'm looking over here because I'm just wanting to make sure you can see what I'm doing. But yeah, so if you're new to playing guitar, don't have, how am I going to do this? Your fingers bent this way when you're playing. Have them this way. It's a whole lot easier. You get more strength in your hand and all that kind of stuff. It's a whole lot more natural. Going for the Jason Statham look. Yeah, well, you know, he's a cool guy. I'll take that. I'm not really going for that look, but I seem to get that more. You know, a white bald guy is automatically him or Bruce Willis. That's just how that works. I thought you'd have a haircut and a shave for Christmas. Well, maybe, you know, catching up with my family, so it definitely looks better than, you know, I've got a lot of gray in my beard now, so the longer it gets, the more wisdom I have. Let's just put it that way. Caesar Blues Guitar is the Italian guy. All right, thanks, Wade. I appreciate that. So, yeah, Caesar Blues Guitar. Check out his channel. He does a lot of great setup videos, and they're to the point. Easy to see angles, and he explains everything within 5 minutes. That's the video I used for... quite possibly, yeah, that's what I've just been told for the PRS setup video. So, yeah, if you do get a PRS... it's funny, since I've been... since I did the video of this... So many people have messaged me saying, hey, I've got one coming for Christmas. So, you know, it'll be like the longest week of waiting for it and all that kind of stuff. Or I plan on getting one for Christmas now. And this is the thing. When I put my opinion out there, and then if it wasn't genuine, I'd hear about it. And people would be posting, oh, you know, you talk a lot of crap. This sucks. And I mean, look, there might be a few cases of that here and there, but generally, like, I'm pretty sure everyone who's getting one of these will be pretty happy with it. I know I am. I love it. Frank says, please go to Southport Guitars. I'm right-handed, and I went there just to check out, and it felt like I was in Bizarro Land. A friend of mine shot a quick walk-around video for me as well. Showed me what it was like on the inside, and I thought, yeah. I'll definitely do a Guitar Search Saturday video there. No worries at all. If I can't make it next trip... I'll have a friend of mine help me out with that. But yeah. What gear would you like to get for Christmas? External hard drive. I fill up hard drive space like you wouldn't believe. I don't keep all of my raw footage because it's just too big. Like every video is... If I got 3-4K cameras, if I'm shooting say 10 minutes of video footage all up with mistakes and before it gets edited... It's like 60 gig, right? Because it's pretty high-res stuff. I don't even keep those raw files. I keep my my photos of the products, but I don't keep any of the other stuff. And even with doing that, each file's a gig at least, right? So I fill up hard drives like nobody's business. It's crazy. But in terms of guitar stuff, I don't really need anything else. I think all I'm going to probably get for myself is a couple of sets of strings. That's about it. I've got a few left, but I'm playing tens on this, and I really like tens. So, whereas everything else I play, still I got 11s on everything. Sonia says, I like the clean shaven look. You look quite handsome. Thanks. It feels weird. It feels weird. I don't normally do this. There's a couple of reasons I don't normally do this. For some reason, if you shave dry, I like it dry, but close to the skin, it's easy to get like bumps and stuff. I don't like those. I'm getting a bass ukulele. Tiny thing, but sounds great. That's from Daryl. Cool, man. I don't think I've ever seen one of them before. Nick has a fetish for the Johnny B. Good riff. Go to McDonald's and upload it to the cloud. Man, I wouldn't have that much time. McDonald's internet is brutally slow. Yeah, look, there's no reason. Like, I see a lot of... I follow a lot of massive YouTube channels, right? There's a few that keep everything they film. I find that pretty redundant and pointless. I can see why they might want to use overlay shots of stuff to reference things and put that content in new videos. But I love Linus Tech Tips YouTube channel to some extent, right? It's kind of cheesy, but it's entertaining. And when they upgraded their cameras to the Red Epic Weapon 8K video camera, they upgraded all their servers and they keep all their raw footage as well. And I'm like, do you really need to keep your raw footage? You've got a 4K master file or an 8K, depending on how they want to render it out. What's the point? So for me, I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, I just feel like keeping all of my raw files is pointless. I don't need to reference stuff anymore. And if I... Sometimes I'll throw an overlay in here and there, but that's about all I really need. What kind of strings do I use? So usually I use D'Addario's. I'm very unbrand. What's the word? I don't care what brand strings are anymore, but these are the ones that I can generally get the cheapest. Until recently when I got 3 packs of these because they were cheaper. So I got these for... my store price, I got them a whole lot cheaper than the D'Addario, so I bought a few packs of these. These used to be my favorites, actually. I stopped buying them a while back because back in the day, they never used to be sealed like this. They used to have a packet that kind of looked similar, but I'd find the strings were corroded. So that's why I made the switch to D'Addario's. I used to buy web strings all the time, like webstrings.com. If you live in the States, they're great. But the same thing, again, they don't like seal their packets, so a lot of the strings rust. I find that to be a bit of a problem. Dan of NJ says, I'm seeing Eric Johnson in New York in March. That would be really cool. I'm not sure if that's directed at me, but what bands are you with? Any videos up yet? I got a lot of... Just go to shanesband.com. That's the easiest way. I got some video footage on there. It's actually on my YouTube channel as well, but that will at least give you some frame reference of what I do anyway. Terry says, Linus has his moments that you love or hate him. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all these videos are riddled with advertisements. Like, you know, hats off to the guy. He's absolutely killing it financially, that guy. He makes great content. He's got 7 million subscribers. But yeah, and a full team of people working for him and a warehouse and all that. So he's doing a great job. I mean, in terms of all the tech channels, I still probably prefer his the most. He's a weird sort of dude. Like, I don't know. He's irritating, but he's enjoyable because of it. I don't know what it is about him. He's got a lot of character in sort of like a weird way. All right, Jack says, I was using Elixirs for years until the US store stopped selling to Australia. Yeah, that sucks, man. They're locking down on all that stuff now, you know, importing stuff from overseas. And it just sucks because, you know, I saved over $1,000 on, or more, like $1,200 on my 52 reissue buying it in the US. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It really is. you should be able to buy things from wherever you want. It sucks. Kurt, put this towards a pack of strings. Thanks for all that I do. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I will put it back into the channel. And that's what I do with most of this stuff, too. I put it back into things that I can use either for the channel, like the light, the little things, you know, that I can make the channel better or use it for stuff that I need. So thank you so much. Pepsi, I've got to buy a box of Pepsis and I've got to buy a couple of new strings. So I'll put them towards something. Thanks, man. Samu Zorn says, do I like the Vox AC10? I do. I covered that earlier on in the stream as well. I think it's one of the best small amps for its size. I reckon it's great. So in terms of strings, I don't think there's that much of a difference between brands. Unless you're talking like Elixirs, which are covered or coated, I should say, in a, like that Kevlar, or not Kevlar, whatever that material is called, I've forgotten the name of it. In terms of traditional strings, it almost doesn't matter. As long as you're buying a brand that you know, the difference between, you know, a set of D'Addario's and a set of Ernie Balls is nothing, really. It just comes down to what you prefer to use, a Mosquito or something. And what's cheaper, it doesn't really, you know, which one do you like the look of the best in terms of its packet? That's pretty much what it comes down to. Larimo S, heading out, folks. Have a great night. Thanks, Shane. Hey, thanks for stopping around. I appreciate that. Don't forget, guys, we've got 100 people watching. If you want to give the video the thumbs up or thumbs down, please do so. Always open to feedback and suggestions as well. So if you want to see more of something or less of something, let me know in the comments too. I try to run these new polls that we've been given on YouTube as well, which is really cool. I can sort of gauge what people like and what they don't like just by asking questions. I also do the same thing on Facebook from time to time as well. But yeah, if you have some suggestions of stuff that you'd like me to cover in terms of either gear or topics or whatever, I'm always open to stuff. I kind of feel like asking is the best way to move the channel forward. I know I've done way more pedal demos than I said I would do this year, like coming up into December. The reason is I just got to get them out of the way. I said no to a lot of stuff for months, and then I started saying, all right, send it down, I'll get through it. And then the emails start coming through. Oh, when are you going to do that? When are you going to do this? I'm like, all right, I'll get them all done and then move them on. So, yeah, as of the first week of next year, no more than one a week again. I hope. Unless I'm not caught up, but I should be caught up. Also, heads up, I've got an important video coming up. It's going to be titled like Buyers Beware or something like that. I'll make it sort of stand out. Check it out. It's on my other computer in editing right now. I shot it this morning, so I'll be wearing this stupid t-shirt. If anyone you know plays guitar and they're into pedals, you just share the video with them or tag them or something, because I think it's a pretty important video. Anyway, I'll let you see that when it comes up. Anyone ever played with the flat wound jazz type strings? They sound pretty cool, but they're a bit stiff. Yeah, they are. They feel really different. I've tried them on both bass and on guitar, and they do feel very different. On a bass, you can kind of get away with them, but they kind of, on a bass especially, that you, it feels like you don't get that clack. They're just a very smooth sound. I don't know. Electric guitar, I haven't played a lot of them, but I have tested them once, and they weren't really for me. Sonia says, I love your coverage of different fuzz pedals. Awesome. So that's one thing I said no to a lot, was fuzz pedals, because I don't really like fuzz pedals that much normally, but I know so many people love fuzz pedals. For me, I don't use them when I go to a gig, so you know, they end up just sort of getting stuck in the cupboard or whatever for a while. But yeah, it's one of those things where I thought, you know what, there's bound to be a lot of pedals that people don't know that I can demo that are different. So that analog Fox stuff is definitely different, no doubt about it. So thanks for that. Wade says, almost missed the live stream, so I upped my subscription notification set to all. Oh, cool. Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, there's something about like the notification system on YouTube that's not very clear. Even if you click the bell, sometimes things don't always come through to your notifications for whatever reason. I'm guessing YouTube's probably too large almost now. I'm not too sure. Hey, Talon Floyd, how are you, man? Oh, yeah, I called out your question before. Sorry, I didn't see your username. Have you ever tried the new Martin titanium core? Just want to know if it's worth the $50. I haven't. I don't know what that is. Sorry. I have no idea what that is. Can I suggest that you spend more time on tips or best practice for live playing? Yeah, absolutely. I can do a video on that. No worries. I've got to do a festival next month on the... I can't remember the date. I better check that out. But there's a certain type of practice I'll do for that that I don't do in everyday guitar practice. And it's different. So that might be a really good opportunity for me to show you like how I practice and practice certain things in particular. So yeah, totally. I can do a video on that. No worries at all. I usually do that about a week prior to the gig and then just do like not the same stuff every day, but I'll go over it a few times. So yeah, I'll hook up a camera and I can show you how I practice for that stuff. No problems. Don says it's 1 a.m. East Coast in the States. You would have more viewers at an earlier showtime. No complaints though. Yeah, I usually start like 6 hours earlier than, or 7 hours earlier than now. But I like to mix it up because we've got people from all over the world. And I try to do that from time to time rather than just being predictable. 10 a.m. Melbourne, Sydney time, I like to mix it up. It means people that might not make it on normally can maybe make it on this time. And then I'll go back to the other time. So, Jack Daniel says, buyers beware, episode one, the Mustang GT. No, it's got nothing to do with amps. So nothing Fender. So, yeah. Anyway, I think it's worth pointing out because what the video is about, people wouldn't normally find these particular products anywhere, but I've seen shops in Australia selling them, which is ethically not very cool. So, and the misinformed might make a big mistake, or people might pass them off as the real deal and charge people the full price and when they're buying a copy. So it's definitely a video that I think worth checking out. Dylan asks, what's the festival I'm playing? So I'm playing at the Basin Music Festival Summer Sessions. I'll be one of like probably 6 or 7 bands for 45 minutes. So I think I actually need to organize. I found out about it yesterday. So that's one of those things. All right. So Chris Barker lead guitar says they are acoustic strings that just came out, supposed to compete with the Ernie Ball Paradigm and Elixir Polyweb Longevity strings. Okay, cool. Yeah, I haven't used them. Lando says I finally got his stool put together. He's just got this new little guitar stool. It looks absolutely rocking. So very cool. Hey, we got VS Audio from Greece. How are you, man? Thanks for dropping in. Now, one of my other videos I was going to make this before the end of the year was like my top 5 pedals of 2017. Like just of all genres, not just dirt pedals. And I haven't done that yet. I'm running out of time. I'll see if I can knock that out. Actually, you just reminded me. I've been lucky enough to test some really great stuff. And the Vibler pedal from VS Audio, it's still on my pedal board till today, so very cool. Jack says, I'd like to know what you're thinking when you're improvising Safe Surf Search version. As always, interests me. So, one thing I think guitar players don't think enough of, especially if they're like learning or beginning or whatever, is what's going on around them rhythmically. Right, the first thing you should listen to is the drums, if the drum is good, right? What you don't want to do is disregard the rhythmic quality of the music around you. I see that a lot with inexperienced players. They tend to not play with the rhythm that's presented to them. Here's a great example, right? I got some guys I know solos out of songs, and they learnt it a particular tempo off the album, and that's the only way they play it. And if the band is playing live and they get excited and they start speeding up, the solo doesn't move with the band. It stays at the same tempo. And then all of a sudden, all the notes sound like they're not quite hitting the right beats. So I'm always listening to where the snare and the hi-hats are, or the snare and the ride cymbal, or the snare and the kick drum. Doesn't matter what you listen to, but the rhythmic quality is always there. So if the snare's cracking like that, you've essentially got all these notes going on in between where the snare's hitting on a relevant tempo. So that's what I listen to when I play. I listen to that more than I listen to anything else. So I find where the drums are, where the tempo is, and then I start to come up with something that works for the tempo. And I also try to work off things that are just a little bit different from time to time. I don't do this enough, maybe, but like most people will start their licks on the one. So it'll be like one, two, three, four, one. So they'll play something on the one, right? But a cool thing to do is actually start it on the two. Can I actually change the way you play? So if you go like one, two, three, four, one, two. Two, three, four, one, two. Three, four, one, two. So play off different sections of the groove and be cautious and not cautious, but be aware of the rhythmic quality of what's going on. Understanding rhythm is a big part of playing lead. If you don't understand how rhythm works, you're never going to hear any of that stuff. So I can take a 4-4 groove, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, and break that down into 1E and a 2E and a 16th notes, right? I hear like four beats per, four extra notes between the beats, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So it's a hard thing to explain, but once you can hear all of those different qualities in drumming, it really helps your lead guitar and it helps you execute things on time. And that's the most important thing to work with. That's why playing without a backing track isn't good for your practice. You should always, like people say, play to a metronome, right? Metronome doesn't really teach you rhythm. It teaches you to play on time, but you might not really get it. When you play with a drummer, you're hearing drums play to a backing track. You're hearing a lot more things than just clack, clack, clack. You're hearing, you know, music. So play to those kind of things and listen to what's going on and work with that. All right. Things stuff says, dude, it's 7 in the morning. It's 5:12 p.m. here. Great tip on starting on the two. That's a really cool blues thing. You know, that's, I don't know who I got that from or what, but someone said to me, you know, you can play off a video. I can't remember how I got that. These are just bits of knowledge you pick up over the years. But, you know, if you're just always playing on the one, it's really predictable. One, two, three, four, one, you know, or one, two, three, four, one, two. You know, you can play off the two. It's hard to talk. It's hard to count and then play. I can talk and play licks that are in my muscle memory, but so try and mix up where you want to launch your bits from in terms of your lead playing, and it will make you play differently as well. All right, cool. Oh well, I'm glad that was helpful. No worries, Sonia. Cheers. Was that Sonia that said that? Oh, Don, sorry. I'm going blurry-eyed here. All right, guys. Well, we might wrap it up. I guess I've been on here for a while. So, answered some questions. Told you a little bit about what's coming up. And if you have any last-minute questions, feel free to ask. This stream will be up in its entirety, glitch and all. Hopefully no glitch. Some people said it didn't glitch, which was good. In probably about 20 minutes, however long it takes to archive to YouTube. So Yeah, if you're playing lead guitar, always listen to the drums. Work out where the snare is, where the kick is, or listen to the hi-hats. The hi-hats will be the notes in between the main groove. So that's the snare. So you got all of these notes in between the snare to actually land your notes on. And that's just one of those things. The sooner you can hear 16th notes in any rhythm track, even if they're not being played, the easier it is to play guitar. It just opens up your timing. So, yeah. All right, I started 2 hours ago. Far out. All right, Terry. Well, you've called it, man. I appreciate that. And thanks for coming back on. I knew I'd see you again and remod you. So that's great. All right, guys. Well, take care. Thanks for hanging out for 2 whole hours. That's insane. And if I missed any questions, feel free to post them on the chat once it archives on the comments. And thanks for those who tipped me as well. Kurt, I appreciate that, man. I definitely will get some new strings down there. And we also got the big $16 or $13 for the slab of Pepsi Max. We call it a slab or the box. So, yeah, that's hilarious. I appreciate that a lot. So, thanks again, guys, and take care. I'll try and do a live stream, hopefully, before the end of the year. That's the goal. So I might even see if I can borrow a few of my friends to jump on as well. And we can do a, maybe get Rick on one or something like that as well. Did I ding my guitar? No, that's just the finish. All right, that's fine. Don't like dinging my own guitars. That's no good. It's all right if you ding someone else's. But anyway. All right, guys, rock on. Thanks again for hanging out. I appreciate it. And last question here. We've got Nigel says, am I still gassing for that black telly? That black telly was amazing. You'd be surprised how high the price is, even at my deal price through the shop. And it's not because they've escalated the price. It's just because they're that expensive.